You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Class is in session. This is week six of the College Fantasy Football Blitz. We are brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network and, of course, on Sports Illustrated. My name is Skip Newton at SkipNewton31 on Twitter. Joined, as always, John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. John, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. Just before we recorded, you mentioned how fast it's going. And the college fantasy football season, in my book, is by far the shortest and fastest of all the seasons. We're on week six. You know, if you're 2-3, you need to win out probably. In 1-4, you're desperate. And then you mentioned the buys coming out. So we're here to help you get through the next 2 weeks. I think, Skip, there's 28 teams off this week, which is the most all year, except for week zero. But, you know, that's a strange week. And next week, we have a ton of big teams. So this week, we have more teams, but they're not necessarily the Alabamas, the Floridas, the bigger programs. Next week, if you go look at your fantasy football rosters and look at the teams and the buys, you're going to see a lot of big teams not playing next week.
Yeah, I got to admit, when I went in to start setting my lineups and looking for potential injuries and things I got to watch out for, the number of bye weeks this week was alarmingly high. It's like, oh, here we go. This is going to get a little exciting. So be sure when you're setting your lineups, you know, look ahead, pick up players that you need to pick up if you have depth issues. And that's why we're here to help. So let's get right into it with our marvelous matchups. We've got six, as always. We're going to start it off. I've got the first one. Coastal Carolina at Arkansas State, the over under a whopping 70.5. So woo-hoo! A lot of potential fantasy goodness here. I'm going to begin with Coastal Carolina. They are averaging 48 points per game, just an absurdly high number. Arkansas State's giving up 45.5 points per game. So, I mean, Coastal Carolina is going to score. I would be shocked if they didn't. Grayson McCall is expected to play. He's healthy, ready and raring to go. So he gets an A grade. He's got over 1,100 yards passing, 10 touchdowns to just one interception. He has ran for 69 yards and a couple of scores too. So got to have McCall in your lineup. Wide receiver Javon Heli, also an A grade, 24 catches, 499 yards with four touchdowns. So you got to play him. Isaiah Likely, the tight end, another A grade because tight ends are pretty sparse in college football. So if you find one that's good, you're playing them. 19 catches, 281 yards and four scores. And then I've got a B grade on Reese White at the running back position, 374 for yardage with six touchdowns. So he's got a nice touchdown average there, 7 yards per carry. So he's getting the job done. The problem there is volume, but still he's being productive. He's scoring. You got to put him in your lineup. For Arkansas State, it's interesting. They score 32 points a game. Coastal Carolina only gives up 14. So I've only got one starting grade, and that's on quarterback James Blackman. And honestly, this is one of those, if you've got quarterbacks on bye weeks or if you got injuries, he's a startable player, but just a C grade for me. He's got over 1,200 yards, but 8 touchdowns to 4 picks. Not the greatest touchdown to interception ratio there. So he is my only Arkansas State player that I've got in this matchup. John, we're going to go to you for the next one. We've got ECU and UCF, 66.5 over under. Who should people be looking at for this matchup?
I've been studying this matchup for the last 48 hours. Skip, I'm going to talk about it later, but I don't know how UCF is 10.5 point favorites. The betting public must not realize that Dylan Gabriel is out because I don't understand it. They lost and they dropped a clunker to Navy last week. Navy's not very good. The young freshman, Mikey Keene, I give him credit. I don't think he expected that he would be under center this year, this early. Dylan Gabriel been rock solid his first 2 years on campus. He wasn't injured. Next thing you know, Mikey Keene is calling the signals. They're also without their number one wide receiver. Doubtful. He's doubtful. He didn't play last week. But Jalen Robinson looks like he'll be out. They also have Isaiah Bowser can't get on the field. The same problem that Bowser had at Northwestern is now compounding the problem at UCF. You can't get on the field. You can't score fantasy points. Your team can't rely on you. And let's throw in the Gus Malzahn factor. All of a sudden, this is looking like a Gus Malzahn team, a Gus Malzahn offense, everything. It's just how this team, where it was and where it is right now, I don't think they're worthy of a 10.5 point favorite. This offense is not as explosive, not as dangerous as it has been. Navy, I have to repeat, is not a very good football team. To go out there and lose against Navy is a very big warning sign. I'll be honest, Eastern Carolina, they're up and down and they can be maddeningly frustrating. But Holton Ahlers, their quarterback, he's up and down, but he's played a long time, a lot of experience at the college level. I like him in this matchup. He's on the road. And the game script, Vegas is telling us that East Carolina is going to be playing from behind. I'm not as convinced, but he should put the ball in the air often. And they have one of the most exciting young home run hitters in college football. If you've not seen Keaton Mitchell play, he's simply been spectacular. Skip, his last three games, 222 yards rushing, 125 yards rushing, 135 yards rushing. He has 4 rushing touchdowns. What makes him amazing? He is limited. He's never carried the ball more than 15 times, Skip. He's averaging over 12 yards a carry. That's right, 12 yards a carry. And if you've seen the Knights over the last couple years, they're defensively challenged. Navy put up a nice point total against them. They have Tyler Snead at wide receiver and CJ Johnson. Don't love either one of them, but if I have to play someone, I would play Snead because he tends to get the most targets, and Johnson's been really disappointing. So Keaton Mitchell, Holton Ahlers are our starters. Mitchell's a must start. And I have Ahlers. I picked him up. I'm starting him in 2 leagues this week. I like the upside. So that's what I think. I like this game a lot. I'm going to talk about it a little later.
All right. Listeners can hold on for that. A little more information coming up on that matchup. Going to the next one, we've got UTSA at Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky, just a 3-point favorite, and they're the home team. So basically, they're saying this is an even match. So expect a close game. However, a close high-scoring game. Another 66.5 point over under. We'll start with UTSA averaging 34.5 points per game. Western Kentucky yielding 35. So really close there. I've got Frank Harris, the quarterback, as a C grade. He's got 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So again, another one of those where if you've got players on bye or injuries to deal with, he might be somebody worth a shot just in this one game. Wide receiver Zachary Franklin gets a B grade, though. 29 catches, 397 yards with 4 scores. He's been putting up good numbers all season long, so you really, really should be having Franklin in your lineup. And then A grade on Sincere McCormick, running back for UTSA. Woo! He's been getting the job done. 541 yards with 6 touchdowns. He has caught 7 passes as well for another 63 yards. So like Sincere McCormick as well. For Western Kentucky, 39 points per game, although UTSA has only given up 17.5, so something's going to have to give there. That said, Bailey Zappe, is that, am I pronouncing that
Zappe,
right?
Yep.
All right. A plus grade. Over 1,700 yards with 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he's also run for a score. So, yeah, you probably already know about him. You're not taking him out of your lineup, but you got to start him. Jareth Stearns, wide receiver, A grade. He looks fantastic. 40 catches for 546 yards and 5 touchdowns. The guy's money. Got to go with him. And I'm going to give a C grade again if you're dealing with bye weeks on Mitchell Tinsley, another wide receiver, 21 catches, but a nice 346 yards with two scores. So a couple of good options definitely in the passing game there for Western Kentucky. All right, matchup number four.
We have Arkansas at Ole Miss.
I got thrown off there. I was like, ah! I was thinking Alabama, and I'm like, wait a minute. They played last week. I was like, wait a minute. That's Arkansas.
I thought that was a new style of intro, so I just went with it.
Oh, man. I had this complete mind blank right then and there. So tell us about this one, John.
Ladies and gentlemen, before you do anything, wipe out both games. Arkansas got pounded by Georgia. They didn't even score a point. I believe they got shut out 37-0 or 34-0. They just absolutely got destroyed.
Georgia, yeah, remember when I took Arkansas plus the points in our prediction last week? That was,
I wasn't that was going great, to bring that up. That
great was call.
Oh, my God. I mean, hey, I thought Arkansas was playing good football. They're not a bad team. You know what? Georgia's just unbelievable on defense. They're front seven. Oh, my God.
Dominating.
Are they good? And they couldn't get anything going on the ground or in the air. So ignore that. Mississippi. If you want to hear a rant, go on my ITL podcast. I go off on Lane Kiffin. Look, at one fourth down, I was all for it. First and goal, fourth and six on the six. That's okay. He goes for it the next two possessions and basically spots Alabama a 21-point lead on the road. Can't do it. That's just bad coaching. That's just real bad coaching. Put both of those games out, because the reality is, because we have to look at the total amount of work. Arkansas and Ole Miss are loaded with fantasy stars. If you're worried about Treylon Burks, and I benched him last week against Georgia, and that took a lot. It was like a last second decision. But I just looked at that Bulldogs defense, and I didn't see any way that Treylon Burks was going to get open. Now, I didn't expect him to play as poorly. Not entirely his fault. Quarterback has to get him the ball. But Georgia was too nasty. Love him in this matchup. He can get the screens. They can get the quick passes in his hands. I don't like anyone in the Arkansas backfield. Treylon Smith, Raheem Sanders, not in love with either one of them. The tight ends, you know, their passing game is risky. I'm going to talk about later. Boy, I'm putting off a lot of stuff for later. But I got a quarter. I'll tell you about my man, my sleeper later in the show at that one. And Mississippi. Last week when we were on the air, we actually got news that Jonathan Mingo was not going to play, if you had listened to the show. And I had to rearrange my DFS lineups because I had liked Mingo at the price against Alabama. I did not expect Mississippi to fall apart that badly. Now, Lane Kiffin had something to do with it. But without Mingo, the passing game really collapsed. It didn't help the decisions they make. Corral's a must start. I think he's going to bounce back big time here. He should have four total touchdowns, three passing, one running. He might have five. I mean, if you told me now that he had six touchdowns, I wouldn't be surprised. And ladies and gentlemen, if my memory serves, and I'm old, he had the six interceptions against Arkansas last year. This was the game where he really played poorly. That was on the road. You don't think he's thought about this game all offseason, folks? He was embarrassed by that game. People have brought up that one anomaly game far too much. I think this young man comes out with poise, motivation, coming back against after this Alabama loss. I like Corral here a ton. Dontario Drummond is a must-start without Mingo. You can play Braylon Sanders if you want. I have no problem putting him in. Now, Jerron Ealy is listed as questionable. I don't think he's going to play reading kind of those message boards, looking at some beat reporters. They have a running back named Snoop, S-N-O-O-P, Snoop Connor. He's a big boy. He's a goal line short yardage back. He might be, if you're desperate in a flex, you need someone. Snoop might be the player you need. Also, nice thing, Matt Corral's already at his bye week. He's playing next week. I know because I have Corral. Mississippi's had their bye week. But Snoop might be the type of player that can get you through the bye week next week if Ely is out for a while. Go check him out. And Skip, you have Virginia Louisville, the ACC, buddy.
Yeah, this is my last matchup, over under 65.5, similar to that Arkansas-Ole Miss game. Another close one predicted by Vegas, just a 2-point favorite for Louisville, so this should be a good one to watch as well. We'll start with Virginia averaging 34 points a game, Louisville yielding 28. Brennan Armstrong, one of your guys, John, A-plus grade, over 1,900 yards passing, 14 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, also 67 yards rushing with 2 more scores. So he is getting the job done. He's been involved in a lot of high-scoring games already. His number one wide receiver is an A-grade as well, Dontavion Wicks, 24 catches, 535 yards, just a big play guy, 5 scores there. And then I've also got a B-grade on Billy Kemp, another wide receiver for Virginia, 34 catches, 362 yards, and 3 scores. Just want to make sure people are paying attention. Normally, you've got Jelani Woods in your lineup. He's been a great tight end. He is out injured, so make sure you catch that. No Jelani Woods for this game. On the Louisville side, they're averaging 32 points a game. Virginia giving up 27.5. You would think there'd be a lot of starters, but they really spread it around. And part of the problem is Malik Cunningham seems to be doing everything, and that's why he's an A-plus grade. His yardage total, 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns passing, 2 interceptions. Those are solid numbers. Then you go to the rushing side, 309 yards with 10 rushing touchdowns already, which is why no running back on this team is worth anything in fantasy football. And he spreads around the ball to the receiver. So it's just Malik Cunningham on the Louisville side. But again, he's one of those guys. You stick him in your lineup, and as long as Louisville's playing and he's healthy, you don't even think about it. You got to keep him in there. So an easy start there. Final matchup, and it's a big one. Hopefully one of the better games that we're going to get to watch this Saturday. Oklahoma -3 at Texas. Let's finish this up, John. Who do you got?
The Red River rivalry, baby. Big game. This is the first. I'm trying not to get giddy. This is one of the first times in a while where I feel like Texas is the better team. Now, we do know in these rivalry games, the classic rival, you know, Harvard, Yale, Michigan, Ohio State, USC, UCLA, I'm trying to think, Auburn, Alabama. These big games, it doesn't really matter what the two teams are doing. Either one could win at any year, at any time, regardless of records. I feel like up and down, personnel-wise, and how they're playing, Texas is better. So let's look at Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler is sinking this entire passing game. I've said it before. I think I said it last week. I definitely have said it on a couple podcasts for about 3 weeks now. There's no explosive plays. They don't throw the ball deep. I can't believe they don't have an alpha receiver. I don't remember the last time since D.D. Westbrook, Marquise Brown, C.D. Lamb. They always have an alpha male at wide receiver, Oklahoma. And you look, Marvin Mims, Mike Woods, Jaden Hasselwood, Mario Williams. There's alleged talent here. There's no question about that. You look at the recruiting rankings. You look at some certain box scores and big games they have. You look at the spring practice tape, and you're like, wow, Oklahoma's loaded. They're loaded at wide receiver. Every week for 5 weeks, you look in the college fantasy football, and they're torpedoing your results, your scores. And it's because of Rattler. I was always Malik Willis number one. I think I have Rattler on 3 teams in best ball regular season because I had like pick 2 or 3. Rattler's got like less than 25 points, I think, every game, which is awful. I mean, for college fantasy football, number 2 pick overall, number 3 pick overall, those are terrible numbers. And the running game, Skip, I don't even know what's happened. Eric Gray, who I love coming over from Tennessee, he doesn't even look like he belongs in the Big 12. And we know you can run in the Big 12. Like, it's unbelievable that I thought this young man coming from the SEC on arguably at least one of the bottom three teams, Tennessee, the last 2 years when Gray was there, coming to Oklahoma with a good offensive line, Heisman candidate quarterback, I thought the sky was the limit. I don't think he's gotten double-digit points in college fantasy football. Kennedy Brooks, he might be playing better, but do you want him in your college fantasy football lineup? The only guy I can play right now is literally Spencer Rattler. And I'm not happy about it because right now the ceiling is not there. Now, I have a good friend who's a Texas fan, and he keeps saying the only thing is a Texas fan. I'm worried that this is the game the Sooners blast off. Like, if you're a hardcore Texas fan, you could just envision Oklahoma putting up 40 points against you when they haven't done it all year, right? But everything that I've seen, looking at the numbers, watching the games unfold, looking at the advanced metrics, I don't know how Oklahoma does it. I really don't. And here's, to me, the key. Doesn't take a rocket science. I said this all summer. It was coaching malfeasance if Steve Sarkisian did not give Bijan Robinson 30 touches a game. Well, guess what he's been doing lately? He realized I have a stallion. I have one of the best players. I actually think right now if he wins this game, and they're going to win only if he has a big game, put him in the Heisman, people. The quarterbacks are not very interesting. If he wins and he has like 200 yards from scrimmage, it's between him and Bryce Young. That's, in my opinion, they're the two front runners. Because there's no, unless Sean Clifford goes into Iowa and upsets and Penn State runs the table, but I can't even believe I'm thinking about it. Like, there's no way Sean Clifford is going to win the Heisman, right? If Bijan wins, and I think Texas is going to win. Bijan Robinson is simply having a spectacular year. If you have not seen him, oh, my God. I mean, the passing game, the running game, his ability, his vision, get through the first level and forget about it. No safety or cornerback wants to deal with this man coming down the field. I think Oklahoma's in trouble. KC Thompson, if you need a quarterback, I know he disappointed last week. The week before, he had 50 points. But I think you can play him in this game. Because obviously, I think Oklahoma has got to commit 7-8 men in the box on every play. The one thing I'll say about Texas, with Joshua Moore, Jordan Whittington, and Xavier Worthy, they have speed on the outside. They're not great receivers, but they can get open deep with 8 men in the box. If Thompson calls the right audible, they fake it to Bijan. These guys are going to be deep on the backside. I mean, they're because every safety for Oklahoma has got to deal with Bijan Robinson coming up. So I think KC Thompson is going to get 2 pops from beyond 40 yards deep. Now, the question is, will he connect on them? That's going to decide his fantasy day. But they should take their shots. And Sarkisian's a lot smarter than I am. And I still think Bijan gets his 30 touches. You know what's interesting? Has anyone been watching Roschon Johnson? He is a really good back. If you don't know, he was a quarterback in high school. Longhorns moved him to running back. If it wasn't for Bijan, Johnson might be the top 10, right, Skip? How good is Roschon Johnson? Like, unbelievable. But he's behind Bijan Robinson. What are you going to do? If Dynasty, Debbie Hint, if you want a cheap running back, you might take a shot on Roschon Johnson. He's a player. He's just behind one of the best running backs I've seen in a long time in college.
I like that. You know, and it's interesting how you brought up the Devy disappointment on the Oklahoma side. Whoa. Basically across the board. The Devy guys that we love them are so high on. None of them have looked great. I mean, maybe Marvin Mims is the kind of the guy that's, you know, doing all right the incoming freshman wide receiver whose name is escaping me, but
Mario Williams.
Thank you. But between Oklahoma and Clemson, I can't think of two teams that are usually just full of Devy greatness that have been so disappointing this season. So it's interesting that came up here. All right, let's transition into our sleepers. We're going to start with John's. It's four guys that you can pick up. All of these guys are available in less than 50% shares. So they're available in most leagues. John, let's start it off. Who do you got at the beginning here?
And as you move forward through the college fantasy football season, in the beginning of the year, we can name a lot of players owned on less than 15% of the teams. As you advance through the year and people get picked up and everything, my threshold is less than 50 because there's going to be times where there just might not be as many because everyone's picked up players because they're in the playoff hunt looking to improve. So my first one, I hinted at it. KJ Jefferson, the quarterback, Arkansas at Mississippi. He's a better runner than thrower. If you're looking at the defensive numbers of Mississippi, they're actually decent against the pass. 216 yards per game and have only given up 6 passing touchdowns. But KJ Jefferson is a fantasy star because of his ability to score with his legs. And if you look before this abysmal effort against Georgia, Jefferson had scored in college fantasy football 23.5 and 32 points in the previous 2 games. He just could do nothing against Georgia. I'm not holding it against them. The game script says that Arkansas is going to play from behind. Jefferson can easily score 2 rushing touchdowns, most likely gets 1 in with his legs. If you had watched the Razorbacks before the abysmal effort, they were playing and running the football. I felt they had one of the better offensive lines in the SEC. Georgia just ripped them apart. I mean, the front 7 at Georgia, I just can't wax poetically enough about it. They just blow people away. It's unbelievable. I mean, they're moving 300-pound offensive linemen like they're rag dolls. I mean, it is unbelievable. And the speed at the linebacker, you're like, whoa, he closed quick. Georgia's loaded. So I don't worry. Jefferson should bounce back here. He's only owned on 26% of teams. So if you need a quarterback, I like Jefferson a lot in this game. You also have a 66.5 over-under. We mentioned it before. You got to like a quarterback playing catch-up with that many touchdowns expected on the board. If you need a running back, one of my favorite pickups off the waiver wire, Alton McCaskill of Houston. He scored 3 touchdowns last week. He is a rising star for Houston. It is kind of amazing that Houston got him onto campus. Allegedly, Alabama was interested. Florida State was interested. Houston brought him on campus early last spring. In the last 3 weeks, McCaskill has become a star for the Cougars. One of the reasons why, Clayton Tune, their quarterback, has an injured hamstring. And Tune is a very good runner. But I've been watching Houston, and he doesn't run lately, because obviously his leg is hurting him. And he especially doesn't run in the red zone, like within the 10. And Tune had done that in the past. Now they're giving the ball to McCaskill. He's young. He's healthy. He's a stud. Go pick up Alton McCaskill. Now you need a wide receiver. One place to always look, the MAC conference, the MAC conference, the MAC conference. They're going to throw the ball. They're going to put up a lot of points. This week, Dallas Dixon, the number of targets that he is getting is off the hook. I believe he's in the top 15 in the nation with targets, and he's more than efficient with those targets. The Chippewas are 5-point favorites at Ohio on the road, but I think Ohio will give them a better game than people expect. I like Dallas Dixon here. He's a great start this week, and I do think moving forward, once they get, because we're now in conference play, everyone, the Chippewas will be in a bunch of shootouts, and Dixon will be a very good pickup. And my last one, you can say I'm a homer, you can yell at me all you want. UConn's lost back-to-back games. I can't believe they were close, and they lost within the last 20 seconds of each game to Wyoming and Vanderbilt. They fired Edsel. the new coach has been playing the young underclassmen. No one knows why Edsel would not play the young kids. That was, I think, one of the problems behind closed doors. They have a running back, Nathan Carter. He's a home run hitter. He had over 100 yards last week against Vanderbilt. He's a good player. Now, UConn's not great, but it's the matchup. They play UMass. The last time UConn won a game, Skip, was over 2 years ago against UMass. That's how long it's been. This is the toilet bowl of old toilet bowls. UConn travels up to UMass. But UMass's run defense, Skip, it's somewhat comic. They give up 239 yards rushing, 21 rushing touchdowns. The Minutemen have surrendered 21 in five games. They are giving up more than four rushing touchdowns a game. And when UConn last won, Kevin Mensah had nearly 170 yards and five touchdowns against the Minutemen. Nathan Carter is now their guy. He's a freshman. They have an NFL prospect at left tackle. He's going to go to the Senior Bowl, the Huskies. They can run the football behind him. They'll get 150 yards rushing against the Minutemen. If you want a deep sleeper, and I have them in two leagues now. Now, these are 11 man starting, so it's very deep rosters with 14 teams. I get it, but I'm starting Nathan Carter, UConn at UMass.
Basically, you can just pick up the running back that plays against UMass every week and play him if they're available, and you're probably in good shape.
And Missouri.
There you go.
Those two teams.
All right, let's get to my four quickly here. I'll start at quarterback. I'm going with Hendon Hooker from Tennessee. So hopefully Matt's listening. He'll like that one. He's owned in just 21% of leagues. The big thing here is his rushing upside. He's already got 216 rushing yards with two touchdowns, averaging 25 fantasy points per game. So look at Hendon Hooker if you need someone to pick up for this week. A running back. Got to go back to Maryland. I think we've talked about this guy in the past, but he's still available. He's only owned in 22% of leagues. That's Tayon Fleet Davis, again, from Maryland. And I'm picking him up not just because of his decent stats, 331 yards, four touchdowns. He's also caught 16 passes for 114 yards and a score. Averages 7 yards per carry. But he's playing Ohio State. And Ohio State, you talk about bad run defenses. They've been giving up big games. They gave up big games to Ibrahim from Minnesota. They gave a huge game to CJ Verdell. I like the matchup, surprisingly, but Ohio State's defense has not been good this year. At wide receiver, I'm going with Nathaniel Dell from Houston. He's available still in over 50% of leagues. He leads the team in receptions, yards, and touchdowns at 3,124 yards and three scores. So I like Nathaniel Dell. And then Ja'Cory Sullivan, another wide receiver, Central Michigan. He's owned in 47% of leagues, so still under that 50% threshold that we like. He's caught 24 passes for 366 yards, six touchdowns. He scored at least one touchdown in every game, so very consistent there. I like that. I think he's a guy you can pick up and feel pretty confident putting into your lineup. All right, let's go to our best bets. John, of course, doing very well with a season record of 15-3. I'm sitting here at 7-7-1. I've evened out my record with a 2-1 record last week. I think, John, did you go 3-0 last week?
2 weeks ago, I went 1-2. I was all upset. So I bounced back last week at 3-0. I took Tennessee plus 2.5. They won the game, baby. They killed Missouri. I had Mississippi State plus 240. They ended up winning that game outright. Huge score. And then Duke UNC, I said I thought 72.5 was too much for the over. I took the under. I'm now 15-3 for the year. I probably just jinxed myself, but you know what? I'm feeling really good. I've been working hard. I look at all the games, and I'm trying to pick. I don't bet on every game, Skip. I try to look. I'm very compartmentalized and organized. I'm only placing bets where I like. This year, this week, I got three more. I have mentioned it. Love East Carolina. I'm taking the 10 points against UCF. Freshman quarterback, their best receiver out, no running game. The The Pirates, I know it's a little risky, but I like them here. They have the best player on the field is Keaton Mitchell on offense. And the Knights are not very good on defense. So I'm taking the Pirates plus 10 at UCF. Then I was kind of shocked because I know Memphis has lost two in a row. I get it. And fantasy fans are disappointed the last 2 weeks. But Memphis is a better football team than Tulsa. Tulsa's not very good. Memphis, I'm taking Memphis on the money line, plus 135. They're an underdog here, but I'll take the Tigers on the money line, plus 135 against Tulsa. Then, I just have mentioned this a lot, Skip. The Missouri Tigers stink on defense. North Texas is coming in. Their only chance is to run the football. Missouri needs to control the clock. They don't want to get in a shootout. This over-under is 69 points. With a run defense that can't stop anyone, which means the North Texas should be able to slow down the clock, limit opportunities. North Texas wants to also keep Missouri on the sideline. Both of these teams want to shorten the game. I get that the two defenses are bad, but the offenses are equally as bad. I like this to be under 69. Yes, I know people want it to shoot out, but I'll take Missouri, North Texas under 69. What do you have, my good friend, for the listeners tonight?
All right, let's see if I can finally get above 500. I said I went 2-1 last week. My one loss, of course, was Arkansas. They got absolutely throttled by Georgia. Interestingly enough, my streaks have continued. I'm 0-5 against the point spread, but on the money line, I'm a perfect 5-0, and I've picked an underdog every week. So apparently, when I just pick an underdog to win, I don't care about the points. I can predict those correctly. When I get the advantage of points, then I lose out. That's the strangest thing to me. We'll see if that continues. I'm putting my money on a great team. As much as it pains me to say this as a Gopher fan, but I got a bet on Iowa. They look so good. They're only giving 1.5 against Penn State. They're playing at home. I think the Hawkeyes are going to win this game. I think they're the better team right now. So that's where I'm putting that Iowa minus 1.5. My money line play, I'm going with San Jose State plus 115 at Colorado State. I think San Jose State is the better team. I think they're only just slightly underdogs because they're on the road, but I'm gonna take them here to win that one outright. And then the over-under, Georgia and Auburn, over-under is 46.5. I'm going under the total. I'm putting my money on defense this week with Iowa, and I'm putting my money on defense with Georgia. Like you said, their front seven is as dominating as any in football, and I think they're gonna absolutely shut down Auburn enough to keep this one really low scoring. Auburn's defense isn't bad either, so I like this one to be a low scoring game. So Georgia and Auburn under 46.5. All right, the last thing we've got is DFS. So John, tell us about your great DraftKings plays this week.
I'm going to give you a fantastic four to all our listeners for the day slate at noon and the evening slate at 7 p.m. Now, of course, we're recording Thursday night. Things change, injuries occur. So you can watch me on my timeline. You can always stay up to date. But right now, based on the matchups and what the information I have on Thursday night, my man Skip took my DFS play because I agree with him. Hendon Hooker at home against South Carolina, only $7,900. His rushing upside. And ladies and gentlemen, go to last year's box scores when he was at Virginia Tech. Some of his rushing numbers, I think there's a game where he has 4 rushing touchdowns. He has not done that yet at for the Volunteers. But the upside is there. I love Hendon Hooker. We love those dual threat quarterbacks. Wake Forest, earlier in the year, Christian Seals, forgot his full name now, sorry. He was the running back. But in the last 2 weeks, Justice Ellison, has slowly taken over the Demon Deacon's backfield duties. He has 13 and 15 touches from the ground. He has three receptions, and he has scored 17.6 and 14.6 DraftKings points. He's on the road against Syracuse. I like him in this game. The over, or I'm sorry, he's averaging 12.4 points a game. He's only 5,600. I like Justice Ellison. We need some salary savings because there's some studs in the running back position. I'll give you money to save at the running back position. At wide receiver, you know what? I like Sam Laporta, the tight end of Iowa. In college fantasy football on DraftKings, tight ends count as wide receivers. In his last three games, he scored 10, 14, and 19 points. Laporta is probably the Hawkeyes' best receiver. I mean, they don't really have a wide receiver who I like. Laporta's the best guy. He's only 4,200. And then I like Rakeem Jarrett. Unfortunately for Maryland, they lost Dante Demas for the year, their senior wide receiver, who was getting some draft buzz and was getting some Devy buzz because he was playing well, but he is out. I like this game against OSU, Ohio State on the road. There's going to be points in this game, and I do expect Ohio State to win. But what do I like about it from a fantasy standpoint is the Terrapins are going to be playing catch-up. And Rakeem Jarrett is their best receiver. He's also only 4,100. This slate is loaded. You have the Texas. You have Bijan Robinson on it. You have some big-time wide receivers like Chris Olave, Dante Drummond. You have Kenneth Walker of Michigan State. So what I wanted to do is give you a fantastic four that was really low in salary so you can go out and choose your studs that you want. And here's what I've done for you. The Fantastic Four will cost you $21,800 on your salary cap, which leaves you for four more players. It'll leave you $7,000 per player. So you can go out and choose if you want Bijan Robinson, go put him into your lineup. So my Fantastic Four for the day slate, Hendon Hooker, then we have Justice Ellison, we have San Laporta, and Rakeem Jarrett. Then you can load up on Ohio State and Texas if that's how you want to put together your lineups.
Oh,
on
I love
the
it.
Evening slate, I took a little bit different of a route. My salary's higher because I don't think there's necessarily as many low-value players. So I'm going to start with Dustin Crum of Kent State. Dustin Crum has been three games over 20 points, two games below 10. But who did he play when he was bad? Iowa. We've been talking about Iowa's defense. Can't ding him playing Iowa. And then against Texas A&M, and both those games are on the road. Dustin Crum is now back in the MAC. Dustin Crum is a great college fantasy football player. In this game against Buffalo at home, Skip, he's only 6,800. Normally, he's an $8,000 quarterback. But because of those bad games he had early, his salary's depressed. I love Dustin Crum here. His rushing upside, he has 80 yards rushing with two touchdowns. I mean, that's how good he is of a rushing quarterback. So I'm going to start with Dustin Crum. You might not remember, but there was a running back at Oklahoma last year, TJ Pledger. Before Ramondre Stevenson got off of, he was suspended, Pledger had one good game and one great game for the Sooners. He transferred to Utah, and he didn't get many touches the first three games. But when we last saw Utah, TJ Pledger against Washington State had 117 yards rushing and a touchdown. Skippy scored 20 points on DraftKings. TJ Pledger should be the starter now Utah travels to USC. Pledger, the only chance I believe that the Utes have is to run the football. Pledger should get 20 touches in this game. He's at the top of the depth chart right now. He's only $5,000. I like TJ Pledger against USC. The only danger is USC gets up 24-0 and the Utes get taken out of the run game. But Utah's pretty good at keeping these games closer than one would think. I like them there. Now, I want another piece on the opposite side. I got Dustin Crum of Kent State. I'm going to come back. The opponent, Quinn Williams, their wide receiver. He's $6,000, but look at these last two games, Skip. 6 for 119, 9 for 134, and a touchdown. 21 and 31 DraftKings points. In 4 of 5 games, Williams has over 14 points on DraftKings. The MAC conference, they can't slow people down. I like Quinn Williams of the Buffalo Bulls on the opposite with Dustin Crum. And I know this is risky because he's crazy maddening and Michigan's passing game is crazy. But Cornelius Johnson, when the Wolverines hit him deep, he's been good. 2 of the last 3 games, Skip, he has scored over 20 DraftKings points. He's only 4,900. I need salary savings. He's playing Nebraska. I think Nebraska is going to force Michigan. They're going to have to score. Nebraska, I don't think they're going to win this game. Michigan's defense is better than them. But I can't believe I'm saying this. Adrian Martinez is playing good football for the Cornhuskers. You look at the numbers, he's playing good. No one's giving him any credit because he opened up with the stinker, and I think people wrote the narrative on him. But he's been playing good football since that game. I think Nebraska's going to give Michigan a challenge here. Back-to-back games on the road. They just came off a tough physical opponent in Wisconsin. Now they travel to Nebraska and a wildly different offense. Wisconsin didn't have playmakers. They're playing between the tackles. Nebraska's got a playmaking dual threat quarterback. They're going to get the ball on the edges. Nice challenge for the Wolverines. But that's why I like Cornelius Johnson. So this week, in the evening slate, my salary is different. It's $22,700. You have, for the other remaining players, you have $6,800 for each player. And there are plenty of big-time players. In the evening slate, you're going to have to make some decisions like Drake London. If you want Drake London for $9,000, let me see. He might be the most expensive player. Nope. Bryce Young for $92,000. And Drake London for $9,000. If you want one or both of them, I gave you 2 value plays, TJ Pledger and Cornelius Johnson. My Fantastic Four at night, Dustin Crum, TJ Pledger, Quinn Williams, and Cornelius Johnson. And that's my Fantastic Four for the day and evening slate.
That is awesome. So we've got 2 slates worth of Fantastic Fours. Well done, John. That will wrap it up for the College Fantasy Blitz for Week 6. We brought you marvelous matchups, sleepers, best bets, and John's DFS plays of the week. Keep checking the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network for daily podcasts brought to you by Sports Illustrated. John Lobb at Gridiron Skull 91. Just can't afford that. That last 2 letters, but that's all right. I love it. Everyone knows the Gridiron Scholar, right? Everyone knows John Lobb. And I am
my friend. And hopefully next week we get Matt back from his honeymoon. A married man.
That is the hope. We think things will get back to normal next week. That is what we're shooting for. So we know we miss Matt, but we've been holding down the fort in his absence. So for Matt, for John, I am Skip Newton at SkipNewton31. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy an awesome weekend of college football.